Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. On any given day, any team can be a winner, any team a loser. On any given day, you can excel above all expectations, or you can choke. It all comes down to one thing, pressure. So who will handle the pressure today?
All that incredible pressure!
Let's flick the switch and go live to a stadium buzzing with fans, ready to scream their team home. Welcome. Triple M NRL.
Let's go! Yeah, I was always one of the ones who choked, to be honest with you. That's just the way of it, even as a fan. Great to have your company in the hour before we had to kick off the Tigers taking on the Storm. Sterlo will join us in roughly just under half an hour. He'll help us preview all of that action and the other games that are still to come on this round five of the NRL. After we've already seen the Dragons over the Rabbitohs 16-12. The Raiders on Thursday night beat the Bulldogs 26-10. And again at that Tyre Power scoreboard, the Roosters 28, the Sharkies 10, James Hooper, Ryan Girdler. And Brett Finch is with us.
Tony, did you see through the week that they're playing the Legends of League again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they played it last year. So all the old guys come out of retirement. Mm-hmm. And Dell was waving the flag, I think, for the Broncos. And they go up somewhere in Central Coast. Yep. And last year, I don't know if you guys knew, but Finchie actually got player of the tournament. Have you been roped into it again this year?
If there was a player of the tournament, I would have been the last bloke picked for that award. Matty Hill, the bloke who organised it, good fella. He did a tremendous job too last year. All the stuff on the Facebooks and the live stream went through the roof. Good crowds and that, man. It's great to catch up with the old boys, but actually playing wasn't too much fun, Gerds. One wasn't in the best of shape. We got out there and I was playing for the Parramatta team. I sort of was slowly jogging across field, and as I went to pass, I got pushed in the back. Now, the fact that I nearly dislocated my neck and my shoulders because my whole body just shuddered, I then hit the deck and got a big grass burn on my knee. Now, straight away, half filthy, I just put the hand up and I went, I'm off, walked straight to the sideline, and I think I played about another 20 seconds for the rest of the tournament. So, it's amazing when you stop playing how hard just catching the ball is and passing and... Well, that was hard enough for me when I was playing, let alone after I've retired for 5 years. So.
Oh, there's some blokes up there that take it a little bit too
guess
seriously.
Who? The bloke
too,
who sits in this seat every week. He took it serious, Dell. Yeah. He was Instagramming and sending people all these photos and videos when he was in the gym. These rope things, and I was like, I'll give it a spell, Dell. But but the good thing about that weekend was they were very confident, the Brisbane boys, and... they may or may not, the exile, or their barbarians may have through their last pool match because they were already through. Yeah. So the Broncos couldn't go through. And you've never seen so many happy former ex-players in the fact that Big Dell once spent the dummy and you miss out on the finals, Wendell. So no prize money for you.
It's time for this. What does the Fox say, James Hooper?
Well, massive game this afternoon, Tone. Double header over in New Zealand. And, look, a lot of focus on the young Melbourne halfback, Brodie Croft. So, look, he's a strong personality behind the scenes and he's only a young player. So it's going to be interesting to see over the course of next month if things don't turn for the Melbourne Storm and their attack isn't clicking. There are some suggestions that perhaps Craig Bellamy might look at some other options. So, like I say, look, they've got a list of champion players there, captained by Cameron Smith, and there's just a few murmurings that, young Brady, he's just trying to find his niche in the side and maybe just rubbing a few blokes up a little bit of the wrong way.
Right. Finchie, you'd already said that in terms of him maybe not overplaying his hand would be the lesson.
Yeah. I think what's just highlighting this, the problem too there, or the adjustment in the seven jumper, is their discipline and errors. Melbourne have had teams over the years that... we've seen them. We've had them stars in there, but they've been filled those other positions with just workers and battlers and blokes, just looking for a game. So they've always relied on high discipline, high completion rates, grind out wins, not the prettiest of ways. But when you're not completing your sets, when you're making errors and your discipline's poor, it's hard for any halfback to get some momentum and rhythm in the team, let alone a young kid in his fourth or fifth game So that adds to the pressure. I think, if you just got to concentrate on a few little simple things in his game and hopefully the rest can follow.
And I think with Cooper Cronk, you know, we all admire the way that he plays the game and, you know, with his kicking and his game management. But I think one of the areas that he gets a lot of respect from his teammates is his those effort areas, kick chase, putting his body in front. And I think it's going to be hard for the players around him to adapt to a new halfback. Like Cooper's played over 300 games for Melbourne. All of a sudden you've got a new young guy in there. Their expectations are probably going to be on the field, having this guy kick and chase, and if he's inside Will Chambers and the combination that they've had for a long period of time, there's going to be all these different, the word is, as you said, Finchie, adjustment processes that this team needs to go through, because Cooper meant so much in so many ways to that team.
And when you've got a player like that with Cooper, who works their backside off, tries their hardest, you, as a teammate, you can wear their errors because you know they're trying so hard. But if they're a bit lazy or they're taking a few shortcuts or their attitude might not be great, when they're making errors or not doing their job, that's when, as teammates, you go, well, hang on, what's this bloke all about? But, you know as any player, you go through tough periods or, you know, coming into a new team, there could be adjustments. So if you're just working hard, showing the right attitude and doing the best for those unselfish plays for the team, they'll stick by your teammates and, you know, they'll bring you out the other side.
All right, Hoops, you've headed south to Melbourne, about north to Brisbane.
Yeah, big story during the week, wasn't it, fellas? I think caught everybody by surprise when Kevvy Walters announced that he was no longer going to be the assistant coach with the Brisbane Broncos. He only announced he was going back there last October. So, certainly came out of left field. Look, the line that the Broncos are really publicly pushing is that, Kevvy's got such a big job on his hands with State of Origin, and Origin is the jewel in the crown and such a massive beast that obviously he needs to dedicate a lot of time to that. I think there certainly is a big element of that, but I also think behind the scenes that, you know, Wayne Bennett's Wayne Bennett. He's a huge aura within the game, and I just think that Kevvy Walters probably isn't an assistant coach anymore. I think he's now a first-grade coach, an NRL coach in waiting. What he did last year with that Queensland side, the way he oversaw that generational change and brought in a whole heap of new players and orchestrated, I mean, at 16-6 in game two, Tone, with the Blues in front, the series looked all but over. So Kevvy clearly can coach, and I think that there's definitely been some frustration there in terms of Wayne's the head coach there, and perhaps Kevvy, he's earned the right now to have his own voice.
Yeah, I thought, which was a bit funny, was 2 weeks ago Wayne was saying they won't divide us. 2 weeks later, Kevvy, that looks divided to me, boys. I wasn't too sure about division and all that stuff, but that's divided in my opinion.
They shared the house in Newcastle when they were coaching there, didn't they?
Yeah, look, they've really? Obviously... Yeah.
Well, it's like a frat house.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think it would have been like the house of Grouse.
What about our nation's capital?
Yeah, look, a lot of talk down there. Aidan Caesar had a cracking game. It's his best game of the year, Thursday night against the Dogs. But both of those halves, Blake Austin didn't play NRL this weekend. He's playing reserve grade. But you'd think with that injury to Sam Williams, he'll be straight back in to the first grade 17 somewhere. Mm. But there's a lot of talk behind the scenes. The Raiders are after a playmaker. And they've made good offers to Blake Austin, and they've made a good offer to Aidan Caesar. The players opted to back themselves and not to take those offers. So now I think the Raiders behind the scenes have made a little bit of a play for Corey Norman at the Parramatta Eels. Mm. I don't know that it's going to get off the ground, but I think it has been discussed, possibly a player swap. So Junior Paulo used to be at Parramatta. The Raiders are obviously pretty good in terms of depth in the forwards. So I think that is certainly one option that's been discussed. And, yeah, definitely the Canberra Raiders are after a playmaker for next season or before if they can get it.
Do you think the fact that Ricky hasn't gone after a genuine playmaker really of the highest quality over the last couple of years is because of Hodgson? Because their dummy half such a dominant ball player, and it just might sort of be too many cooks?
Yeah, I agree with you, Kurtz. When I look at Canberra, I see their setup similar to Melbourne. They play off the nine. I think the nine's the chief architect, similar to obviously Melbourne with Smith. When I think 2016, when they were one game away from the grand final, he was in devastating form, Hodgson. Yep. I think he was runner-up in the Dally M and clearly the second-best hooker in the game. The damage he was doing off the back of a forward pack going forward, he was carving teams apart. So I agree with you, Gerz. I think when they're at their best, he's the focal point of their attack, which doesn't take away from the halves role, but if you then get a chief playmaker, dominant halfback, that's You know, you're going to have some sort of knock-on effect in there to the impact that Hodgson has. But I think they're at their best when Hodgson is the chief playmaker.
All right, Hoops, thank you so very much. Next, it will be the best of the best, and then Stirler will join us.
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
You're going to love this, Gerds. I've broadened it. Really gone broad today. Although rather than, you know, we've been doing specific things like best sidestep. Mm-hmm. Finchie didn't feature.
Sidestep defenders. You see me get out of the way of defenders?
Well, best tackling technique. Is that what you're talking about?
Sidestepping me way out of trouble.
Exactly. We've done those sorts of things specifically about rugby league. I thought today, why don't we just for the hell of it go a bit broader and go best sporting movies. Now, it can be very difficult to make a good sporting movie when, you know, with actors having to do, if they're actually playing, doing physical stuff. I can't think of a great rugby league film, for example. 1-3-3-5-3, if you know a great rugby league film.
And The Last Winner.
Yeah. Of course.
Come on, Tony. Of course.
Last Winner and The Last Rugby League Movie.
All in one. I'm talking about those great films that inspire you. Things like, you know, Caddyshack. Where, inspirational. That gets you up and about. So, gentlemen, that is your role. You have to come up with three best double turds. Films, sporting films. Okay, I'm going to start with you, Brett Finch. Where do you want to go?
One of my favourites is Jerry Maguire, Tom Cruise, one of the faves. Yeah. Obviously, the player management, NFL. Uh-huh. And one of the great quotes in that I enjoyed because I never got shown it through my career. So.
Show me the money. I need to feel you, Jerry. Show me the money. Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money. Show me the money.
I got shown the release with 2 years left on my contract. That's the only thing I got shown. The early release with 2 years to run.
I love it. All right, Jerry Maguire is your film. Have you got any for us, Hoops?
Well, I think another one of the all-time NFL movies, Tone, is Any Given Sunday. Al Pacino, Oliver Stone, some of the biggest names in the filmmaking industry. And, some of those speeches in the locker room from Al Pacino, they had the hairs up on the back of the neck.
On this team, we fight for that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch. We claw with our fingernails for that itch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the f***ing difference between winning and losing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You want to go out and play now, don't you, Gerds?
No.
Go do those other 25 push-ups before you do.
was Gladiator a sporting movie?
Well, if you call slang Christian sport, I suppose.
Okay.
We'll have to ask as well for now. Yeah, okay.
So mine, a couple of mentions, like Rocky.
Yes. Yes.
Pretty good sporting movie.
Yes.
Rudy, one of Finchie's favourites, inspirational, but one of the best of all time. Had to be Happy Gilmore.
Oh, Happy.
Hey, Gilmore! You suck, jackass. Why don't you shut the hell up?
that is good. All right, look, Rocky, Bull Durham was another great baseball
Tin
film.
Tin Cup,
Field of Dreams was a good one.
Mm. Raging Bull,
Raging Bull, Jake LaMotta played for Robert De Niro. Yep. Absolutely. Cinderella Man, Russell Crowe, also good boxing film. Actually, boxing films have done better than most. I think boxing and baseball probably are the two that have done it well.
Karate Kid.
You had to take us there, didn't you?
What?
Beautiful film, Karate Kid. There you go. There is your best of the best. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Finchie, welcome.
Good afternoon. I obviously taken Wendell's spot, so I'm really looking forward just to talk about myself for a few hours and how much money I earn and what money I'm on and what a great winger I was. Fantastic.
Yes, indeed. Brett Finch is sitting with us for Wendell Saylor. It is, of course, the deja vu round. We've got the Tigers taking on the Storm. They did the same job in round two. And, of course, round one, it was the Panthers and the Eels. And before we get Stirlow in here, I want to talk about the Panthers and the Eels because we've got a Penrith legend. I thought we'd better get a Parramatta legend before Stirlow gets here. I'm talking about you, Brett Finch, as a Parramatta legend. Look who's walking in just as we speak. It is, of course, Stirlow. He'll join us in a second when we get a microphone. I want to talk before we get there. This game, the Panthers and the Eels, Ryan Girdler, are you happy with how they're tracking?
Yeah, they should be 4-0, to be honest. Yeah. I thought they lost that one pretty. They were played pretty poorly against the Bulldogs a couple of weeks ago to lose that one, Penrith. But look, I mean, all the noise has been about Nathan Cleary being out and how they were going to react and how they were going to respond. And I think last week they just, you know, usually when you lose a person that has so much influence on the side, it's easy to overcomplicate things and try and play a style where it looks like, you know, you're not really missing that vital member of your side. But I thought last week they just simplified things really well. They just went up there with the right mentality to take on a really formidable pack, and they did that well, and they were dominant through the middle third, and then that allowed James Maloney then just to play some footy.
He played some footy.
What a game. Yeah. It's one of the most complete performances I've ever seen from him.
I think we just need to see some consistency from Penrith. Their starts have been poor, and don't forget the first time these two sides met was round one, and Parramatta probably played the best 20 minutes of their season. So they'll take a little bit of confidence out of that. But, Penrith need to show, I think, everyone that they're the real deal this week and go out and really put in a solid 80-minute performance.
Eels really do have to do something, Finchie.
Yeah, they're really disappointing. I thought the last 15 minutes or last 10 minutes where they really had to loosen the shoulders and had nothing to lose against the Tigers, they found a bit of an attacking spark. But, geez, before that, it's been pretty disappointing. There's been no momentum or rhythm in what they do, and they just haven't looked like the team they were last year. I thought they were real together last year. They had a real strong unit, but they look like they're playing as individuals at the moment. There's certainly no cohesiveness through the team, and the halves are struggling a bit because the forwards aren't going forward as much. And it'd be interesting to see what Pete's got to say, being a fellow great Parramatta halfback. Between both of us, we won 4 competitions and a few Dally M's, so we've earned the right to talk about the great club we've played for.
Sterling, g'day.
Hey, guys. It finally went to a vote, did it, I'm assuming?
It did.
I can't see Wendell.
No, exactly. Right. Yeah. How are you feeling about those the Eels?
Well, I hope they take a leaf out of what Canberra did this weekend and going with the same approach. The Raiders obviously faced plenty of adversity in their game and still, you know, came out the other end. I just think for Parramatta that the first thing they've got to do is just get into the contest. You know, they've just go set for set, and then we'll see what kind of football team they are, because they haven't done that since game one. And, you know, I think they gave away a penalty in their first set last week. And if you have a look at the points scored by the West Tigers in that first 40 minutes, it was all on the back of a penalty, almost directly. So, you know, if they can go out there and just get into the contest, I think we'll know a lot more about them, because their ball control has been terrible. Their discipline has been atrocious in regards to giving away those penalties, and they just haven't given themselves a chance. So that's the first priority for them. And then that allows you, once you've got into that grind, to actually play a little bit of football. You know, when you've had no ball, you go one out because you haven't got a lot of energy to do much else.
How did it change like that? They've got a coach who is that working class style of guy. Had him playing that footy last year.
He's on working class style money.
No, probably not. But that's the kind of that what emanates from him, and I imagine the kind of thing he's instilling into his team. The difference between back into last year and the start, it kind of beggars belief that it's so different.
Well, it is, but again, I come back to the fact that they just haven't allowed themselves to get into games. You know, they've been their own worst enemy. I thought, you know, and it did start. Gerds was saying that they played their best footy, and I agree with them in game one. But to only lead by, I think, 6 or 8 at half time with what they'd enjoyed, Wonga Blake scored just before half time, and that was a skinny lead. Yeah. A little bit like last night, you know, you feared for the Dragons a bit after all the ball they had, but they were good enough to go on and win it. So I just think that they just go back to the drawing board. I've been critical of them being one out, but again, that's what you do when you haven't had any football for the last 5 minutes. And I think one of the first things I'd be saying is make sure that the opposition give away the first penalty. Make sure Penrith are the first team to actually put themselves on the back foot. So you just got to do, you know, some dumb penalties too. And really penalties that could have been avoided. Yeah. And in today's game, once the other side gets momentum, it's really hard to turn around.
That's what they did with Melbourne last year in the semi-final. Just went set for set. Yeah. And really rattled Melbourne. You look through Storm's run, they were the only team that really, really worried him. They blew everyone else away. Yep. And the only team that looked like beating him through that back half of the season.
What they did really well last year, I thought they've never had the biggest pack, but they hunted as a pack last year. You know, their line speed was really good. They were super aggressive. But for some reason, that's just all. I think also the fact that they don't have a big pack and they don't have Big Sammy starting their sets off, I mean, that's certainly going to have something to do with it.
Yeah, he's, you know, we're talking a winger here, but we're talking a winger who started their sets, as you say, magnificently, could go the length of the field, could actually turn a game on a freakish bit of play, and you know they don't have him, and he's sorely being missed, but that was always going to be the case. And therefore, look, I want to give Tim Manor a rap. I thought last week he really tried, his line speed was great, and he really tried to take everyone with him. But other blokes were given penalties around him and were dropping the ball. So it's, yeah, 0-5, you're in all sorts of strife. Yeah. Canberra showed the way to play, and hopefully, I just want to throw it to you guys. I'm wondering, you know, the game the other night with Canberra, remember Will Hopewate, just after Kieran Foran scored, Will Hopewate went a fingernail away from scoring from a bomb?
Yeah.
Would have been 12 all. I'm just wondering if Canterbury had a scored then, do the Raiders all of a sudden to start to think, well, hang on, we've been so much better than this other team. You know, it's 12 all now. Because as it turned out, from that, the restart went back to the 20. They scored a minute later. Instead of being 12 all, it was 18-6.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how, you know, and look, you know, it's all, it makes no difference now. But to me, that was the key moment. If the Dogs had got back to 12 all,
yep,
maybe the Raiders start to think about what had happened the previous 4 weeks.
He started looking nervous on the sideline, Ricky, didn't he, at that point?
No, that's because that's because Freddie was standing behind him.
they went down to, they were obviously going through the replay, and then they took the camera over to Ricky, who was sweating on that decision. I think everyone knew how crucial that was.
Well, he obviously didn't put his body on the line when he played, Ricky. If he can be running around jumping around like that. I know you couldn't, Gerd. Didn't you?
I certainly didn't put my body on the line. That's all
the funny. So, a couple of weeks ago, you said we had to be patient in terms of penalties and referees. Is that what has happened? We were patient and have the players got better this week? Or
come
have the referees?
On, let's give them the benefit of the doubt, Tony. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Come on, it worked.
It worked.
Oh, look, there's been a discernible change, has it there?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, the one thing I think they have cut out is the nitpicking penalties. You know, like 16, 17, 18 penalties is still a lot in a game. Mm. But all of a sudden it doesn't seem that bad, does it?
Not each side, is it? It's not 16 each side.
I think they've actually stopped giving away some of the penalties that we did see earlier on. I love the fact that our players touch the ball with their foot.
Yep.
And I think, you know, it has gotten through to a large degree the penalties in that 10-metre zone. And that they were the two big concerns coming into this year. Yep. So, yeah, look, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. And if we can get more games like we saw last night where fatigue really played a factor, you know, maybe it was short-term pain for a long-term game.
Yeah, that was a good game of footy last night. Before we get to these other games of footy, just wanted to ask you something else we've been talking about. Obviously, with Finchie having been coached by Craig Bellamy, we're talking about, you know, he's going to his 400th game.
Yeah.
Where he kind of stands, his stats, as Hoops mentioned earlier, are quite phenomenal. You've been coached by greats like Jack Gibson. Yeah. Where do you stick him?
I think he's right up there. Is he only the third coach to go past 400 alongside Wayne Bennett and
Tim Shenton.
He's up there with the top echelon. I'd have loved to have been coached by him. I just think that his man management and his, you know, to be over 60% all that period of time. I guess the only thing that he hasn't achieved, because he hasn't had to, is he hasn't won premierships at other clubs. And both Wayne Bennett and Jack Gibson were able to do that. There is an asterisk next to some of those premierships in Melbourne. Not with me. To me, they won those competitions. You know, he developed those players to be the great players. The history books will have that there. But
he's got an issue with me because I didn't get a boat like GI, so I put an asterisk next to A9 as well.
You're blowing up there getting a runabout.
That was actually the boat GI had to buy to get out to the boat.
but he's right up there. And, I asked him a couple of years ago whether he'd like to go back and try coaching Origin again.
Yeah.
And he didn't say yes, but he said that he didn't realise what a different beast it was when he was there, because he had minimal success, obviously, as the Blues coach. I wonder going back now, whether there would be a difference. I just want to throw something into Origin, and I want to preface this by saying I don't pump the boys, even though I work with them. I don't ask them. I have no inside information, being alongside Freddie and Joey, but last night, my ears pricked when, after the game, Andrew Johns said that New South Wales were at their best in the era when they had Danny Medeiros starting as dummy half and Craig Wing coming off the bench. And then he gave an enormous leg up to Damien Cook. I'm wondering whether, you know, if you think of the guys that are involved there, Freddie, Joey, Bedsy, obviously, and, yep. and you guys are part of that as well. You know, I'm wondering, I think Coruscant's in probably the hooker in front at the moment. I'm wondering whether Damien Cook might be the wild card coming off. And I, as I say, I know nothing. It's just listening to Joey last night and putting two and two together and likening that golden period for the Blues and the success they had.
He's similar to a
like
wingy,
that.
Isn't he, Damien Cook?
Yeah.
Very quick out of dummy half.
Well, beach sprint champion. He would look
and he was good last night.
Yeah, really good. Really good. And look, so is McGuinness on the other side. But you mentioned both of those players when we were talking about origin forwards and who's potentially there. We're going to dig deeper into the games that you're going to hear this afternoon. Obviously, the Tigers and the Storm will get there next. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Lovely to have your company this afternoon as we head towards kickoff. It's Mount Smart Stadium, 3 o'clock, of course. It's the Tigers taking on the Storm. Then in the double header, Warriors take on the Cowboys. That is at 5:30. Hoops, they're expecting a big crowd there. It's a great bill of fare, isn't it, for the afternoon?
It is, yeah, huge double header over in New Zealand. Look, there's a big in for the Melbourne Storm. Tony, that is Felice Kafusi, who was a Kangaroo back rower at the end of last year. He goes into the Melbourne Storm starting side. That means Joe Stimpson goes back to the bench and young Brandon Smith drops off. The West Tigers are 1-17.
All right, we'll get to that game in a moment. Let's start with the Warriors and the Cowboys. The Warriors, as we know, there they are at home. They have yet to be beaten in this season. They're just below the Dragons, 4-0. What do you like about them so far, Brett Finch?
Yeah, I like the way they've won. The Warriors, they've won in different styles and in different situations and up against different bits of adversity and challenges. Like the first one over in Perth, they haven't won over there for so long, and that's a long flight over there from Auckland to Western Australia. And then obviously the Canberra victory, I was down there doing that one for Fox Sports, and just the way they won it, there's none of that throw out the back razzle dazzle. They stay composed and got through their sets and executed when needed. So, and the last week was really impressive against the Chooks. So I just like the way they're going. The Cowboys, on the other hand, pre-season favourites for a lot of people. They've really been struggling, which is quite surprising. You got blown off the park last week against the Panthers. So it'll be interesting to see what the Cowboys toss up over there. But with a double header, you expect a real big crowd at Mount Spartan. The Warriors will be tough to beat.
Yeah, and still, you see that battle there looks like anyway. Sean Johnson back in for them and up against JT. It should be brilliant.
Well, Lino was fantastic last
week. Yeah,
that's true. So Johnson just needs to continue that on. Warriors can't win. It's taken 5 weeks, but I finally tipped them. and you know, they haven't been my favourite team in the last couple of seasons. But I had to weaken. I agree with Finchie that the calmness that they played with in the opening month, I haven't seen that before. This is a different football team. They've obviously recruited really well in areas that's helped that. But they've just got the mix right between taking the ball forward, playing some structure and getting those offloads in. Offloads in today's game are vital because the defences are that well drilled that all of a sudden if you throw an offload, it's up against an unstructured defence. And they do it better than anybody, but they're not doing it for the sake of throwing them now. And there's actually a rhyme and a reason. The ball tends to go to a player in a better position than who passed the football. And whatever Stephen Kearney did off-season, I don't know if it's to do with Alex Corbo or whatever, but he's got them on the right track to be successful in this competition, and they've looked composed, they've looked calm, and athletically, they've always been so good. You know, the two wingers, you know, I can nearly talk about them in the same breath as Vunivalu and Addo Carr. They're unbelievably gifted players, and Green and Harris have been great for them, and Adam Blair's been good too.
What have the Cowboys got to do then?
I think they need to just get back to some basics. They look overstruck. They look like they've really overcomplicated their game this year. And look, I get the fact that there's been some talk through the week that maybe, you know, when you're really successful without two of your best players in Thurston and Scott and they come back into your side and you can sort of drop your bundle a little bit and expect those guys to do everything for you. And maybe that's been the case. There's also seems like there's maybe a little bit too much respect shown between sort of Thurston and Morgan to the point where they exclusively this year seem to play the same side. Like Jonathan will stay on the left and Morgan will come back and he'll play on that right side. But, you know, I think they just sort of play best when they play a little bit of footy. There's a lot of out-the-back stuff. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, they're not engaging in the line, and it just seems to be premeditated. And I love when Cowboys come out with, you know, their big pack and they roll forward. And on the back of that, you've got Thurston and Morgan and Coote playing a little bit of footy. I just hope we see some of that out of them again, because that's, you know, that's where I think they play their best footy.
The talk about the coach, that doesn't affect the side?
Oh, no, I wouldn't think so, Tone. They made a grand final last season. So, no, look, that's, I'm sure that'll get nutted out over the course of the next 3 or 4 weeks as it is. But, no, I wouldn't think that'd be affecting their performance at this point in time.
All right, well, give us a tip. You've gone for the Warriors. What about you, Finchie?
Yeah, I'm going to go for the Warriors too at home.
All right.
Yeah, I'll go the Warriors.
Cows for me.
Cowboys.
Yeah, I think they're clicking the gear this week. Right. And I've tipped the Warriors most other weeks and I think it's time to jump off them, Pete.
Jumped off. Yes. I heard you traded them in earlier. Yeah.
All right, we get to the game you're going to hear right here, the Tigers and the Storm. That is next. Saturday, Triple M NRL. Tigers taking on the Storm. It is at Mount Smart Stadium, the first of the doubleheader that will be the Warriors and the Cowboys that follow. The Warriors travelling very well, 4-0, and Peter Sterling is with us. And just before we get into this game, just quickly, you had a great vantage point last night. Watched the Dragons get their victory over the Bunnies.
Yeah, I haven't been out sort of in the crowd for a long, long time, and that's a mistake. You've got to get out and just have a reminder of what it is to be a fan. And with all due respect, because they're all... Mate, nutters. Roller coaster emotions, unbelievable. The ref is always wrong. The pass was forward. It was 3 metres back. It was fantastic. And a great crowd out there, over 16,000 fans. And they rode every tackle and it was just good fun and their sights going great. And when the Dragons fans are marching, then rugby league's in a good position. I do have to take you to task a little bit, but Tony, as I was driving down, I think there was a song, reminds me of Paradise, you know, this...
Yeah.
And you said...
Living in Paradise.
I came down expecting we'd have racehorses here, we'd have golf courses, there'd be bikinis. I'm looking around here, when I've envisaged Paradise...
Tone was in a bikini earlier.
Tone was in a bikini earlier.
You've come at the
wrong
time.
I've got teeth like a racehorse.
We're getting there.
And you and me go to play golf.
Love it. All right, Tigers in the Storm. Kick off in just over 10 minutes' time. Pete, what do you think?
Well, Storm, you know, would have been hot favourites before a ball was kicked this year. I didn't see the Tigers doing this. I think great confidence booster for the Tigers last week. You know, their defence in the opening round's fantastic, but you can't keep winning NRL games trying to stop the side from scoring more than one or two tries. So to rack up 30 points themselves last week was just the kind of thing I think they needed. Defence is great. Get some confidence with their attack out of that win over Parramatta last week. You know, it's I'm tipping Melbourne to win this one, but they're not the Melbourne of old as yet. And this Tiger side, they fear no one. They've already had a victory over them. And if they go out and do what they've done the first month, they're going to be very, very tough to beat.
Pete, what's your take on the improvement of Luke Brooks? Obviously, you're one of the greatest ever number sevens to play. He's really been one of the shining lights for the Tigers early.
Yeah, I give a lot of credit to what Benji's done for him the last couple of weeks. Kind of just taking a little bit of a focus off Luke, and I think when a side defends well, then all of a sudden it makes it so much easier for the halfback. And if you've got blokes going forward, and they've Packer's been great. Packer's been great. Madalino, these kind of guys. To me, I'm a Twal and an Eisenhuth fan. I just think they're great. You know. So if I'm a number seven, I've got those blokes doing what they're doing. All of a sudden, I've got a bit more time and space. And you know, he's always been a talented player. And it's not all about him now. There's a lot of spotlight on Benji, and there will be when Josh Reynolds comes back in. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of just been able to play a little bit of a secondary role, which I think he enjoys. I think he looks less pressured out there. And he's worked hard off-season, and I think the coach is a big believer in him too. And, as you know, Finchie, when the coach is in your camp and on your side.
No, I wouldn't know that.
What's that like?
it helps.
We talked about movies, Gertz, on any given Sunday. Can you, I guess the result can change week to week. They played, they won just 3 weeks ago, the Tigers, over this team. Does that mean anything?
Yeah, well, it means something to the Melbourne Storm. Obviously, they'll take the confidence in there, the Tigers, but... the Melbourne Storm, I mean, they'll go away and assess why where they went wrong, and I think they know it happened the same last week as well with their discipline and attitude for Melbourne Storm looks a little bit off with some of their key players, which is something that you don't usually see, and some combinations just aren't working at this point in time. You look at that side there, there's half a dozen guys that obviously, you know, haven't been Melbourne Storm players in the last couple of years and had all that success. So they've got some rebuilding to do there. I think they'll click into gear a little more today, Dan. Sorry, Tony.
Wow, that's 3 weeks in a row. That is late. 3 weeks in a row.
And I think they'll get the cash over there, the Storm.
All right, thank you, MG. What do you think?
Oops. Rarely do you see the Premiers of Melbourne Storm lose back-to-back games, so I'd be thinking they're going to be really stinging. And then on the other side, almost early, like the West Tigers, they've competed in every game. That loss to the Brisbane Broncos, they were highly unlucky. Lucky in the dying stages, but I'm going to tip the Premiers in a tight one.
Sterlo, thank you. Finch, you've been great to have your company and yours as well. Get ready, sit down, be prepared as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the footy. Thanks to Ream.